This is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment. And we are in the Thursday throwback episode. And we are going a little bit into 80s obscure because maybe a handful of people will remember this movie and most won't.
Yeah, I mentioned to someone that we were doing Gotcha and he was like, is that the paintball assassin movie? I was like, yeah, it's the paintball assassin movie.
And that should be on IMDb description. Paintball assassin movie. Yes, like Genoa said, we are reviewing Gotcha! Exclamation at the end. Like, gotcha! You have to say it with, you know, excitement.
It came out in 85. So what was happening in 85 when we were going to the movies to watch Gotcha?
Like a handful of us watching. I think most of us were going to see like Back to the Future in 85. But well, TV wise, what we were watching from 5 to 1, Cheers, number 5, 60 Minutes, 4, you know, your girl, Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote, number 3, Family Ties, speaking of Back to the Future, Family Ties, Michael J. Fox, number 2, and The Cosby Was Locking It Down, number 1, and the song, I keep forgetting this is 1985, was We Are the World, Children. We are the one that make a brighter day, so let's start giving. Yep, USA for Africa. You couldn't get away from that song. You could not get away from that song that year.
Yeah, seriously.
And it was interesting how Quincy Jones like got, well, I mean, hats off to him for like kind of wrangling all of these, you know, all of these musicians. But it was like, it's interesting. Like you hear, I forgot who you hear. You hear like Patti LaBelle or something like that. Like someone really, you know, illustrious. And then you just hear Bob Dylan to Bob Dylan. We get just make it. Yeah. Okay. It's a very interesting mixture of artists on this song.
Yeah.
But it was for a good cause, darn it.
Yep.
All right, so what's going on with this movie? Like, what's this about besides paintball assassins?
Okay, so according to IMDb, this is about Jonathan plays Gotcha with fellow college students testing ability as assassin or mark using paintball guns on campus. He flies to Paris on vacation and with a woman taking his virginity onto Berlin where the game ammo gets real.
Dun, dun, dun. Actually, is, I like that description.
Yeah, this is the ultimate 80s movie. Yeah. And just the beginning of the movie when you see Jonathan and his fellow college students running around on campus with handguns, that would never happen today.
No, not at all. I mean, and they were like black. They were like, I mean, from afar, you think like you actually have a gun.
They look like 22s. Yeah. Yes. They look like full on handguns.
Yeah. And yeah, like they bumping into people. And people are like, oh, what? Hey, watch where you're going. You know, no one's like yelling, gun. And they're like, they're just like, oh, so stop. Why are you bumping into me? Yeah. Like, I was like, okay. All right. All good, I guess.
The movie stars Anthony Edwards as the young Jonathan, and Linda Fiorentino. So I totally forgot that she played Sasha.
Me too.
Like in my movie, or in my mind, she's our age, but she's not. She's my mom's age. She was born in the 50s.
Wow.
But she aged very well because in Men in Black, she does not look like she's in her like 40s, 50s.
Not at all. She looks good. She's good. Yeah, and she's looking really good in this movie with that short haircut. And I'm like, hey, Linda, how you doing? Yeah, like I had no idea that Linda Fiorentino went that far back in movies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I've seen this movie since probably the 90s. I remember seeing this movie for the first time on like TNT or WGN, or maybe it was HBO. It was one of those channels.
Yeah, I think it was HBO for me.
Yeah, where you watch inappropriate movies like this, or when you have insomnia, this movie comes on and you're like, yes, I remember this movie.
Yeah. Cause I always remember the first scene, you know, people think like, oh, he got shot. And then, you know, like the Becky was like, you know, the stuck up girl, Buffy. Like, ah, yeah.
Her name is Muffy.
What was her name?
Muffy.
Nice. Yeah, because she's like, you spilled, you know, soda all over my $60 sweater. You know, first world problems, you know. So Anthony Edwards' character, Jonathan, and his friend, who's he's Italian, right? But he's supposed to be Hispanic. They did that a lot in the 80s.
I think he's supposed to be from Mexico because he's supposed to be part of like a Mexican gang here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. we'll get to that one. That part of the movie. So yeah, they go to they're not in Germany, right?
They first started in Paris. Right. And you know, doing touristy things. So the whole point in Jonathan and his roommate Manolo and going to Paris is to get some ass, get some European chick. Mm-hmm. And his roommate Manolo keeps telling all the women that his name's Chewy and he's like a Argentinian bad boy to pick up girls. And Jonathan's a virgin and he's like, he doesn't know how to pick up girls. And so while his travel buddy is back at the hotel getting some action, Jonathan goes to a coffee shop to get some drinks. And that's where he meets Sasha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we have the whole the black widow, so to speak, of, you know, luring and manipulating the young and naive American.
Yeah. So this is another part that you would never see in movies today. Very 80s is she goes, I like young boys. I like 17 year olds who have no hair. And he's like, I'm like, oh my God, this is a pedophilia movie. Oh my God.
And you know, it's Europe, you know, they have different standards.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Cause instinctively he was like, oh, I'm 23, you know. Right. And she was like, I like 17. He's like, oh, did I say 23? I'm actually, you know, 17. Right. So I did like that piece, like that back and forth between those two.
Yeah, and then she asks, how experienced are you? And he's like, I'm very experienced. She's like, that's too bad. I like virgins.
Like, who?
I'm a virgin. I'm a virgin.
It's like anything to seal the deal. Like, tell me what what's that song? Oh, I forgot. What was it? Who do you want me to be? For you to sleep with me. Oh, that's that shit. Who say that? I forget. Some 80s band. I forget. Who do you want me to be? For you to sleep with me. That was one of that was pretty much that whole scene right now.
Yes.
So he seals the deal, you know, and he falls in love. And it's right.
the, Again, a typical 80s scene where music montage where they're going off and doing romantic bullshit.
Right. But somehow, sometimes she just kind of veer off into alleys and, like, you know, cafes and stuff, and then pop back out and, you know, like, hey, come on, let's keep going, you know. But she's hiding a secret.
Right. Because her story to young Jonathan is that she's a courier and she's only in Europe to do some work. She actually lives in Berkeley and she needs to go over to Berlin to make a to continue her work. So for all the youngins listening to us, Berlin used to be divided between East and West, and the East side was controlled by Russia and the USSR, and the West was controlled by the, not really Americans, but it was like the free part of
Germany. Right. Yeah.
And so a lot of espionage was going on between those two areas.
Yeah, and so now our young naive Jonathan is caught up in the whole espionage because Sasha is pretty much using Jonathan as an information mule to move, I guess, like secret information from one part
of Berlin. Well, she was first using him as a cover.
Yeah.
And then her cover was blown. She hid some vital information on him so that, and sent him back so that she could take the fall and he could get away.
All right. So he gets back to America thinking everything's cool. But then he finds out, like, the Russians are after him.
Yeah, he gets chased a little bit in Germany before he makes it back to the States. There's a hilarious scene where he like is running from the Russians and he runs into some punk, like, glam punk band. Yeah,
some Euro glam rock.
Yeah. To keep the Russians, he dresses up like them and that's how he gets away. So funny little scene there.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards all done up in makeup. Also, side note, most people know Anthony Edwards as, like, a bald dude. Dude, he had some beautiful locks in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, was he balding in Top Gun? But he still has some hair in Top Gun, right?
It was pretty short. I think he was it was already starting to recede.
Because
he had like military cuts.
Exactly. True. That's true. Oh, another side note. So this is the second collaboration with the director. The director previous movie was Revenge of the Nerds, which Anthony Edwards was in. So this is their second movie together.
Yeah, we'll never review that movie. I'm going to say that right now. It is an entire movie on men gaslighting women, and it should be banned. Or used as an educational series for women, girls, to identify what gaslighting is. It is
right, yes. Yes. Horrible. Yes, have them do the knowledge. And, you know, in the times that it was filmed in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But anyway, so yeah, just a tidbit. Yeah, that was just that second movie, their second film together. So
Jonathan makes it back to the States. His parents, who are like upper middle class, living in Los Angeles, think that he's on drugs or there's something wrong with him when he starts to tell them the story. But turns out it's all real. And now he must get the thing that he smuggled from Berlin to the US back to the CIA. And he thinks that Sasha has died in Berlin. She was captured by the Russians. And lo and behold, when he shows up to the CIA office, he sees that she's alive. And now he must get her alone away from the CIA agents to find out what's really going on. And now the Russians are after them, I believe, on the UCLA campus. That's what it looked like it was filmed.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, it definitely gonna look like a USC. And this is okay. So, in order to get a jump on these Russians that's, you know, chasing them, Jonathan looks over to Manolo and says, "What is that? Are you still a homeboy?"
Yeah.
Right, if I'm not mistaken, are you still a homeboy? And yes. Manolo's like, "Yeah, I'm still a homeboy." It's like, yo,
the homeboy always a homeboy. Yeah.
That's right. I should put that on a shirt. And so Jonathan taps the help of Manolo and his homeboys as kind of a diversion, you know, to get, you know, get an upper hand on the Russians. Now, is it me or does that overpass that, you know, they caught or they cut off the Russians? It looked like that the overpass that Turbo, Ozone, and Kelly had that breakdance and fight in the second breaking.
Yes, 100%. It looks like that. Yep.
Okay. I was like, oh, they're like the area they did the battle, the breakdance battle. So they tapped the Hispanic thugs to help them out. Conveniently at best. And so, you know, Jonathan, you know, gets into his gotcha mode, which, you know, I guess it pays off the last 5 minutes of the movie because the whole paintball thing comes back in full circle, except he used tranquilizers instead of paintballs.
Right. So this is another thing that you would only see in 80s movie. The tranq gun in the vet school was just not really locked up. And the teacher at the beginning of the movie is, "Here's where I keep my tranks and the gun in this glass case at the front of the classroom in case anyone ever needs to use it." I was like, what? No.
Yeah. I mean, just convenient plot points, you know. Whatever get us to the end. So then we see Jonathan in full force because, you know, they're in his house now. This is his, you know, mode of comfortability and getting upper hand on people because he's good at gotcha. He's going to gotcha all of these Russians with tranks. So he did, you know, he uses gotcha skills. You know, he was hidden behind bushes and trash cans and, you know, behind walls and just gotcha in everybody. So he got all the Russians all tranked up. And I think the piece of microfilm or whatever was handed to the CIA. And I think Sasha and Jonathan maybe going to continue their thing. I don't know. It was unclear.
Yeah. They walk off into the sunset. So at least in movie terms, yeah, they live happily ever after. Okay, so I'm reading some trivia on the movie, and apparently in the 80s, there was a real-life action game played on American university campuses where kids would chase each other with paintball guns. And they would yell, "Gotcha," when you hit your mark. So, man, the 80s in college, what a crazy time.
I know, right?
Running around with things that look like real guns shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Would never today.
Yeah. Must be nice to be white. I mean, that's all I gotta say on that one, because I'm sure Grambling is always like that, running around this campus with some gotcha guns, will probably be shot up by campus police. Just saying.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. But yeah, it's very interesting. And it was another thing I kind of noticed in this movie. It was interesting because it felt like it was trying to be like two movies. Because, like, you know, when you get to Europe, it's like it's like a totally different movie, right? And then like when we get back to, you know, get back to the cabins, it's like, okay, now we back to kind of the same like tone of the first 10 minutes of the movie.
It feels, it first starts out feeling sort of lighthearted and fun, and then it starts to get a little bit serious in the middle, and then it ends on a lighthearted and fun point again.
That was interesting. It was an interesting choice, to say the least. But all right, so our Stuck on Tarmac review goes as follow.
But sit on the sofa, watch it with the family, put on your shoes. Not sure if you should clean the house or do something else while you're watching the movie, or go outside and face the masses.
Yes. After watching it again, I'm gonna put shoes on. I'll put shoes on. I mean, there were a lot of things I did like about the movie, but then, like I said, like it was just weird, like how it got really kind of serious, like the second act, and then to like the midpoint into the third act, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, okay, it was fun again. You know, it was just an interesting like shift. Linda Florentino and Anthony Edwards, they were great. I mean, their chemistry was really good. I believed it. It just felt like they were trying to mesh two movies into one, and I don't know, it just didn't really work too well. I mean, it wasn't bad, but you know, it wasn't, I would watch it. And it came out in 85, so I would watch another 1985 film. Before I watch this one again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, agreed. It's probably put my shoes on. But when I was watching this, I realized why I liked it as a kid. Because as a kid, I was totally into the James Bond type movies, whereas James Bond always felt like a fantasy or unrealistic. And Gotcha made it feel like this is something that you could, that could actually happen to you. So brought it more into the world of reality. So as a little 11-year-old watching this movie, it felt attainable, that you could go off to campus and be recruited to be a spy.
Or pansy for a spy in this movie.
But the girl is the spy in this movie. So from my perspective, I would be the spy taking advantage of the boys. Whereas James Bond, it was always vice versa.
Right. True. Yeah. No, I mean, like I said, I definitely give props to Linda. Like watching it again, I'm like, that was Linda Florentino. Like, good Lord, like such a chameleon. She did her thing. I mean, like that's what kept you watching it. Those two, like, you know, the interaction between those two, the chemistry between those two. Like, if the chemistry between those two didn't work, the movie would just been like completely flat. Like, it would, like, no redeeming quality about this movie. But the performance of those two and how they, you know, bounce off each other, you know, during scenes were great, you know. So made it watchable.
I mean, she's fantastic. I feel like Linda Fiorentino is underrated and not in enough movies.
Not enough.
Yeah. I mean, she's amazing in Dogma also.
Oh, you took the words right away. I'm about to say Dogma. Like, she's also Bethany.
We need to go review Dogma, because that's a good movie.
So to me, my top three Kevins were like Chasing Amy, Clerks, then Dogma. those three movies I could watch all day, you know. And then Jan Silent Bob Strikes Back. We'll get into some Kevin Smith stuff. I'm always down for that. Cool. All right, so there you have it, guys. Gotcha. Even the theme song was so 80s. I do remember the song. Gotcha. I forget what it was. Anyway, So you have a guest, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, if you have some time, if you haven't, if you're curious about it, yeah, watch it. You know, it was fine. It's 80s, it's 1985.
Yeah, you can find it on YouTube right now. And if you want to buy it on Amazon, it's not streaming. You actually have to buy the DVD or VHS tape. I'm not sure I would recommend spending the money on that. So
yeah, YouTube, you should be good. Sweet, cool, guys. Well, until next week, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
get your shots and wear a mask.
Yes, peace.